There are two readings this morning. The first is from Psalm 51, the second is from Romans 5. So if you put your thumb in Romans 5. Psalm 51, it's a psalm of David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offences, resulted in justification. Now may the living God breathe life to his words as our preacher expands them to us. Amen.
Thank you for inviting me. We had a lovely 60-mile trip. And I thought this morning, before I left home, it was going to be really hot. But I did ask the Lord to give us a cool breeze because the air conditioner's gone wrong in the car. And, you know, we had a lovely cool breeze blowing through the air vents. Our God's a wonderful God, isn't he? He hears our prayers and he answers them instantly. Did you know I had a lovely card from my young son for Father's Day? And it was a card which opened up like that. On the front it said, "Dad, you have given me much advice over the years. Today, I'm opening my ears to listen." And when I opened the card up, there was the picture of a dog, and two massive great ears came out. Have you got your ears on? Good. I thought when I came this morning I'd be able to sing some hymns I knew, because our organist at our chapel, he is a composer who has been writing new hymns, and we've had to learn them. I had to learn all the hymns you put up there this morning, so I couldn't get away with it. But I'm going to ask for prayer, because on Thursday, we've been invited, the organist and myself, have been invited to go to a church we've never been to before, down at a place called Verwood in Dorset. And I've been asked to sing three old songs, praise the Lord, and he's been asked to play some new ones that he's made, but I have to sing them to teach them to the congregation, so please pray that we'll have a great time. Now, I had these scriptures read this morning because Psalm 51 is a prayer by David to the Lord to have mercy on him after his question of adultery with Bathsheba. And he prays that the Lord would use his tender mercies to blot out his transgressions rather than destroying him. And it's so wonderful that David acknowledges that God is the only one who is able to help him. He's the only one that can forgive his transgressions or his sins. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "And the wages of sin is death." But, and you know what "but" means to me, belief, trust, and you in the middle. Wonderful, isn't it? But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's a wonderful gift. And David acknowledges this gift here. He knows that God is the only one that can forgive him. He can't go to anybody else. It's no good going to a priest and asking him to forgive you your sins, because he's a sinner and he can't forgive them. It's no good going up to the town hall and asking the Lord Mayor to forgive you your sins. He can't do it. It's no good going to the Queen of England and asking for her to pardon your sins. She can't do it. Why? Because she also is a sinner and requires salvation. And David here acknowledges the fact that God is the only person he can come to, the only person that he can confess his sins to, the only person that can forgive him. And then over in Romans chapter 5, we have these wonderful words. Excuse me, having a new Bible, it doesn't help. Therefore, being justified by faith. Come on, young people. What does justify mean? Justice. Yeah, he's a young person with a white beard. That's brilliant. Thank you, brother. Just as if I'd never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith. What is faith? Let's try the young people this time. Come on, what is faith? Yeah. How do you exercise faith every day? My wife exercised faith this morning. She had faith enough to believe that I would get her here safely. That's faith. That's relying on someone. That's believing that somebody can do something for you. That's faith. Having faith to know that God can justify you as if you'd never sinned. Now, isn't that fantastic? That's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? Well, you wouldn't think so if you looked at some of your faces. I tell you, oh dear. It's the greatest thing in the world, isn't it? Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for me on the cross of Calvary. He died so that I might live. He died to set me free from my sin. And it's up to me to put my faith and my trust in him. And he justifies me. He gives me salvation. He enables me to believe that it's just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't it? I read the other day, you know, that a man said, you know, if I were God, I wouldn't have chosen me. But praise the Lord, God, with a sense of humour, chose me and made me what I am today. Wonderful, isn't that? And this was a man who now works in a place called Klagenfurt in Austria, running a Christian bookshop, and he's been running it for 25 years. And people are being blessed and saved as they come into his bookshop, buy the books and read the scriptures. And he has been speaking to them. And it's so wonderful. The Lord has used him mightily because he chose him. Therefore, being justified by faith, what do we have? Not just forgiveness, but all the troubles of our heart, the tribulations that we go through, they're all settled at the cross of Christ. And he gives us his peace. Not much peace in the world, is there? Especially in Afghanistan at this particular time. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. Through what? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. The ground of our peace is Christ. The platform of our faith is Christ. The foundation of our salvation is Christ. And when we think of this foundation, there's no foundation that we can build on, is there, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think back over the years in the early part of the 20th century, this hall was built. And it had to be built on a solid foundation because all round here are bogs and marshes. And the foundation had to be made solid. How do I know so much about this place? This is the place where I found Christ. This is the place underneath there where I was baptized. This is my spiritual home. And it's so wonderful to be able to come back and to preach the gospel in it. It's so great. And both my sisters and my dad were baptized in there too. And that was wonderful as well. So the foundations have to be secure. And you and I are the bricks. Did you know you were a brick? Eh? And the building, as the bricks are put in, or the stones are put in, I like to think of them as stones, because bricks are uniform, aren't they? They're all the same size, they're all the same shape. But you know, the cottage that belongs to our chapel and our manse are built with flints. And you see the flints of all different shapes, all different sizes, and they're all cemented together to make a beautiful wall. You and I are stones. What cements us together is love. Isn't it? It's love. And that cements us together and keeps us together over the years. It's the love of Christ. That love he showed for us when he went to the cross of Calvary. I saw in the Daily Telegraph an article yesterday I read the posh papers. In the Telegraph yesterday, there was a lady writing up and saying, we're in the Latin history books of the first century, there is no mention of the Romans ever using a cross on which to crucify people. And there's no mention of nails being used. She read the wrong book. Did she not? She read the wrong book. She should have read this book. That Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was crucified. He had nails hammered through his feet and through his hands, and a crown of thorns placed upon his head, and a spear thrust into his side. And he shed his blood for you and for me to bring us to himself. That's the love that binds us together as a community of God's people. And praise the Lord, after all these years, the gospel is still preached in this central hall, in this gospel hall. It's wonderful, because that's the love, that's the only love that can bring us together as a community of God's people. Jesus Christ died for us upon the cross of Calvary. And there was a time whilst on that cross that he had to cry out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Do you know the reason why? Because Jesus Christ had become sin. He was bearing your sin. And he was bearing my sin in his own body on that tree. And God couldn't look upon sin. And this is the first and only time that God turned his back on his son. Because he couldn't look, bear to look at your sin and mine upon his beloved son. But it wasn't for long, because we read those wonderful words at the end, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, that relationship came back together again after Christ had forgiven or taken your sins in his body on that tree. And that then left it up to us. We could ignore the fact that Christ died on the cross. We could go our own way. We could do our own thing. It won't matter. But it does matter. It does matter because the Bible tells me there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And some years ago, I was asked to go and take a meeting in a chapel near Southampton. And the letter said, oh, we would like you to come and speak to us, but please don't speak of hell or the second coming. So I went and spoke and told them if they weren't waiting for the second coming, they were going to hell. I didn't get asked again until a month later when another letter came from that same chapel. Please, please will you come and take our inaugural meeting of the new community of God's people who want to hear about the second coming, who want to hear that there's a hell to shun, who want to hear that there's a heaven to gain, who want to know that we're justified by faith and that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you want to know about? Of course it is. And how do we get access? It's by faith. Into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's a wonderful hope, isn't it? It's a tremendous hope because Jesus is coming again. Not only that, we've got a living Saviour, haven't we? Jesus is alive! Amen indeed. We have a living Saviour. We have one who lives, one who loves, and one who likes us to be here to worship him. There's a strange verse here. When I first read it years and years and years ago, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Of course, we don't have tribulations, do we? Do we? Of course we do. All of us have tribulations at some time or other in our lives. It doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. We all have tribulations of some kind or other. I think the man who was behind me this morning had tribulations. He was trying to overtake on that nasty road from Basingstoke to Alton and realised he couldn't. And he got very angry and slammed his hand on his steering wheel. And I was watching him in the rearview mirror and I thought, what a foolish man. There's no way you can overtake here, so why bother? Just sit there and wait. And then we went up the road, and there's a massive great boot sale near just the other side of Alton. And what happened? He turned in there. So what was the sense? We have tribulations. Yes, all of us have tribulations. But isn't it wonderful that we can glory in those tribulations? And we give God the glory through those tribulations. Because as Christians, we've got somebody that we can take them to. We've got somebody that we can pray to. Somebody that we can ask to take the burden from us. And God is willing to take that burden. Because the tribulation works patience. And not many of us have much patience, do we? Come on, admit it. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Here we're coming back to the hope again, aren't we? Isn't that wonderful? And hope doesn't make ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by Jesus Christ, His Son. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And the next verse was rather poignant, really, to me, being an ex-military man. Scarcely for a righteous man one might even dare to die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And that day that I read that verse when I was studying this, a Royal Marine who had been protecting his colleagues in Afghanistan was shot by a sniper and died. He gave his life for his friends. When you think about that, you think of the fact that Jesus Christ, who was righteous, who had no sin, who was a spotless, sinless Son of God, gave his life for people who hated him. Would you give your life for someone who hated you? Would you? No. But Jesus gave his life for those who were sinners, who hated him, who despised him, who despitefully used him, who tortured him. And what did he say when he was put upon that cross? Father, forgive them. Isn't that fantastic? That's so wonderful. That's exciting, isn't it? That we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as we are. He accepts us just as we are. He forgives our sins. And we know we don't deserve that he should forgive us. You know, I was speaking at our own chapel a little while ago, and I said, you know, it's absolutely wonderful that God chose me to be a speaker, a preacher, because all I did, education-wise, went to Gresham School and spent my last term in List School for some unknown reason. They decided, because we lived in List Forest, we didn't really belong to Gresham. I'd been to Gresham School since I was down here, and now I was up here, they decided, oh no, you've got to go to List School, which is just a council school anyway, and finish your last term there. It didn't do me any good. And so my education was practically, well, I learnt to read and write and do arithmetic, and I hated it. Even the headmistress at Gresham School, she said to me, you will become precisely nothing. What an encouragement for a young lad setting out on life, isn't it? You will become precisely nothing. And when I became a police sergeant, I said, oh, I do hope Miss Hughes is parked on a double yellow line. I'll show her. Well, no, the Lord used me in more ways than that. When I was 18, I took my first gospel service, and I've been preaching ever since. And that's, I'm going to give it all away, that was 60 years ago. So it's absolutely wonderful. He's still using me for his glory in the preaching of the gospel, in driving all these miles. Next week, next Sunday morning, I shall be down preaching in the New Forest. So that'll be a great time as well. But here, God commendeth us. He commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Isn't it wonderful? We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know so many churches today don't want to know about the blood? They say it's too gory. Praise the Lord it is. Because without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you believe that you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, you can be spiritually washed in the blood of the Lamb. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. David knew that he could be saved from his sin, he could be forgiven his transgressions by God alone. And here we're able to come to him this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is here? He's here this morning. And he's saying to you, as he said to Peter in John chapter 21, do you love me? Do you love me? And he wants an answer. He asked Peter three times, and Peter must have been extremely sorrowful. His heart must have been breaking when we think of Peter. He denied his Lord three times. He denied he ever knew him. He even swore and cursed and said he didn't know him. But here the Lord Jesus Christ asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? And he's asking you and me that same, very same question here this morning. Do you really and truly love me? And we need to answer it, because it requires an answer. I was taking a youth rally in Southampton many years ago, and I was preaching the gospel there and telling how the Lord had saved me. And a young man, 18 years of age, come up to me afterwards, after the meeting. He said, I don't believe a word you said. He said, I should be happy to go to hell. Because I had warned them that at any moment they could be plunged into eternity. Those 12 young people who were hit by that high-speed train in Spain didn't know that they were on the brink of eternity. And this young man went outside, put his crash helmet on, got on his motorbike, and never reached home. But he did reach the funeral parlour. He was on the brink of eternity, and he didn't care. My dear friend, you're standing on the brink of eternity. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're all standing on the brink of eternity, and there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And it's your choice. And Jesus says, do you love me? Do you really and truly love me? Oh, my dear friends, Jesus loves you. So why can't you love him? He loved you so much he gave his life for you. Can't you give just a little bit for him? Your heart. Your trust. Your faith. Such a shame today. So many people will be watching the England match this afternoon. Whether they win or lose won't make any difference. Really. Not to the way they live. But just for the moment, or there'll be all that fervour of shouting and waving flags and oh. Anything like my wife, she said, I don't like football, but my goodness me, you want to hear her when she's watching a football match. You shouldn't have done that. You should have done that. That wasn't a foul, he didn't even touch him. Get your eyes examined, ref. Yes. It's enjoyable, I suppose, to some, but do you know, I've always thought, well, I can't see any sense in 22 men kicking a ball of air about. Because that's all it is. The important thing in life is having a faith and a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. We win if we're on the Lord's side, don't we? Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. Are you on the Lord's side? Are you serving him? Are you witnessing to your neighbours? Are you witnessing to your school friends? To your friends at university? Are you witnessing to your milkman, your baker, your butcher? Oh yeah, we got a butcher where we are. Are you witnessing to those nuisance callers on the phone? You want to tell them Jesus loves them, I'll guarantee they'll put the phone down. Oh yes. Except one man. He phoned me up and he said something and I really didn't want to know what he was talking about, but I did say to him, Jesus loves you. I know, he said, isn't it wonderful? And we spent the next 10 minutes talking about the Lord on the phone. I didn't mind that phone call, that was great. It was wonderful. But you know, 9 times out of 10, when you turn to somebody on the phone and say, Jesus loves you, the phone goes dead. Because people just don't want to know, do they? People going past there in their cars, they don't want to know about God. They don't want to know about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. They're not interested. We're going back to our scripture here. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. We've received forgiveness. We've received justification. We've received his peace, his joy, his love. And it's wonderful, I can tell you. It's great, it really is. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's me. That's you. That's everybody in the whole wide world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, come on, whosoever, what does whosoever mean? A little girl in Sunday school was asked, she was only a little toddler, she was asked, what does whosoever mean? I don't suppose she could even pronounce the word, let alone anything else. But she put her hand up and she said, you, me, and everybody else. Isn't that wonderful? That God so loved you, me, and everybody else, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we trust in him and believe in him, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe that the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh rapidly. When you look at the troubles of the world and you see all everything that's happening, this is what the Lord spoke about in Matthew's Gospel, when he said there would be earthquakes in diverse places, when there would be storms, pestilences, diseases. There are diseases today which we've never had in this world before. And there are many things happening which are terrible things in many different countries, in Brazil, in Guatemala, in Ecuador, in China, in Japan. There are, even in parts of Australia, they haven't had rain for 4 years. There are no cattle. There are no sheep. There aren't even any kangaroos. In Africa, the pandemic there of drought and starvation on an unlimited scale. And the Lord said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. And Paul tells us that when the trump of God sounds, then Christ will return. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Wonderful words those are, you know. Caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And they are a comfort too. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you waiting for him? Are you expecting him? He's coming for you if you trust him. Just think, if he came now, would you be left in your seat? Or would you be with him in the glory? May the Lord bless each one of you. I don't know how much time I'm supposed to have, but anyway. At Chichester, I went half an hour over time, and the choir decided to finish with Now Breaks the Dawn, Eternal Day. So may the Lord richly bless each one of you, and may each of you know this wonderful love, and may each of you be justified and be built up together with love, to love each other and to love the Lord as your supreme head. For his name's sake. Amen.